Welcome back to Silk Flowers and
Paper Mache Hearts. We are your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. And today we're going to get a little nerdy and talk about Star Wars.
Yeah, because not too long ago, you saw your first Star Wars movie for the first time ever as an adult.
I did.
How is that possible?
So, well, my mom didn't like Star Wars, so we didn't watch it growing up. And
you didn't sneak away to find out what all the buzz was about?
No, it was totally not even on my radar, which is weird because I'm obsessed with Doctor Who and a lot of sci-fi movies. But for some reason, I was like, I'm not going to watch Star Wars. I don't know why I was all judgy about it.
It's funny because it's so many props, so many props.
So many props.
Watch it.
So many. Oh, and it's so beautiful. But I got to a certain age that I kind of passed the time of when you should have watched it when you were younger,
right?
And then it's this awkward, I've never seen it, but then mm-hmm. everybody would freak out. And I was like, that's kind of funny that everyone's freaking out that I've not seen this.
Yeah.
So then it kind of became a game of how long can I go in my life without seeing this movie?
But you finally did.
I finally did. My roommate who is a huge, huge, huge Star Wars fan, I was like, I give you the honor of showing me Star Wars. So we watched New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi.
Great. So the original trilogy, that's the correct order to watch them in.
That's what he told me.
Just start with the first one. Don't be starting with episode one or anything weird like that.
So, I know, he gave me a huge breakdown. He's like, there's a specific order that you have to watch it in. And then one of his friends was like, or you could do the hatchet order. And he's like, shut up. There's only one way. I was like, my, this is serious.
It's a little weird. But
and I wish someone would have recorded me because for some reason, I thought I knew all of the spoilers to it because people have talked about it.
Right.
But for some reason, I didn't. Mm-hmm. And then so the whole time I'm like, wait, what? Wait, they're twins? I thought they were just brother and sister. I didn't know this. And then I was like, wait, Uncle Ben is Obi-Wan Kenobi? What? The whole time I'm just having these discoveries.
Right.
And so we would have to pause it. Every scene, we would have to pause and reconvene on what we just watched.
Oh my. So did you know that Darth Vader was his father?
I knew that.
Okay.
I knew that part.
Okay.
But I pretty much didn't know anything else.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of surprises, huh?
So a lot of surprises.
Right.
And I do have to say, Empire Strikes Back is by far my favorite one.
Uh-huh.
Because it had the best quotes from Harrison Ford in it.
Yeah.
And my favorite that I even put in my bathroom as inspiration. This is how much of a nerd and dork I am. Is the never tell me the odds.
Uh-huh.
I was like, yes, this is the best quote ever. And I feel like this is the quote of the prop people.
Right.
It's accurate.
Never tell me the odds.
Never tell me the odds.
Don't tell me I can't do it.
Right. I'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great. And there are just so many beautiful art pieces to it.
Right.
And so many gorgeous puppets and special effects and makeup and prosthetics and such that, and it's all real. I think that's the beauty of it.
Right.
It's not CGI. It's not, all that jazz. It's legitimate, beautiful art that we don't get to see anymore.
And it kind of,
unless you go to the theater.
It kind of, it created a lot of this look for future sci-fi films because we're coming out of the 70s and it's a whole lot of super shiny kind of stuff, very unbelievable stuff.
Yeah.
And they, went in with this mandate to make it look like this grungy lived-in world. So you have these beat-up spaceships and they're going to, airplane graveyards and scrounging for parts, junkyards for all these different bombers and stuff like that, and just taking all these parts and putting them together and building all these spaceships and building these whole little towns, little desert outposts and stuff like that, and kind of cobbling all together out. And they filmed in Tunisia and I don't know where else. I'm not that big of a nerd on Star Wars, but
yeah, that was the cool part. You could tell that so many things have been inspired by it. For example, there was one moment I was like, that's Wally.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's totally Wally. I'm like, oh, right. Because everything is inspired from this film. And then, like, even quotes that I was like, oh, I know that from another film.
Yeah.
And my friend looks at me and goes, you're an idiot. It came from this
right.
film.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. That's right. That makes
this
sense.
This film is filled with so many cliches.
I know.
Right? Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. And then I was thinking, you know, as I said earlier, I'm a huge Doctor Who fan.
Yeah.
And they have Cybermen. And so I was like, oh, C-3PO is a Cyberman. Like, which one came first? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it actually is Doctor Who that came first.
It might have been. Yeah. Because
that was like late 50s, early 60s. Right.
There is a lot, for as much as it kind of created a lot of new stuff, it's also drawing on a lot of previous stuff. So, you know, George Lucas was a big fan of Buck Rogers and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of, if you go back, there's a lot of kind of films earlier where you could see these direct parallels. Like, wait a minute.
Something's not right.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, I was absolutely floored. And then, of course, as we're watching it, my friend is telling me specifics of, they're like, oh, do you know how they did this? And I look at him like, well, I've never seen it. Yeah. So of course I don't know how they did this trick. So one of the things that I thought was really cool was one of the spaceships that Luke and I don't know who else, his gang, uh-huh. got in. And when they're in the desert place.
Oh, yeah. The sand speeder. Luke and.
Yeah. And it's floating.
Obi-Wan. Yeah.
Yeah, it apparently was done by mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to hide the bottom part that was actually holding it up. They just like put some mirrors there, angled it so it reflected the dirt on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, you clever.
Yeah,
they people.
He had to invent the special effects to make that film possible. The I mean, that kind of mm-hmm. started the whole motion control camera craze, which made every 1980s blockbuster special effects film possible. You know, the ability to control cameras with a computer so that you could get these shots with like multiple spaceships flying. Because when he wrote it, he said there was no way for him to do a spaceship dogfight while you're panning the camera. So he couldn't do any shot where you pan mm-hmm. the camera during a spaceship dogfight. So he had to invent the technology to make that possible. And that's basically like, you know, that was Industrial Light and Magic. And that became, you know, one of the largest special effects companies because he wanted to make spaceships move in a certain way.
That's crazy. It's like, it's right. so fascinating.
And it did give us probably one of the most iconic movie props ever, the lightsaber. You look at anybody's like list of top yes. 10 or top 100 props from films, and lightsaber is almost always number one. Because it's not only instantly recognizable, but it was this invention of a thing that... there might have been some earlier films that used something like it, but it was just the concept. It's ingrained in our memories from Star Wars. Like, you think lightsaber, you think Star Wars, you think Star Wars, you think lightsaber. Everybody makes the noise when they swing a fake lightsaber around, you know, even right. even the actors, when they film it, they have to stop them because they're always making the noise. They're like, vroom, vroom, vroom. Yeah.
Oh, really? Cut.
Stop it. Ewan McGregor, amazing. You're making the noise again with your mouth. The first lightsaber was made from a flash unit from an old press camera. It was a Graflex flash unit. Props person John cool. Steers found it in a bin of parts, took it out, stuck like a grip on it and a button, and he gave it to George Lucas, and he's like, how about this? Because they couldn't figure out what it should look like. It's like, great, that looks great. And then like every lightsaber since then has been kind of awesome. You know, they started out cobbling them together and that sort of thing, and nowadays they're probably 3D modeled and 3D printed, that sort of thing. A lot of the early stuff was just kind of like cobbled yeah. together. Kind of, and then it would get tricky because, you know, they wouldn't really keep the props from film to film, so they'd have to like figure out, remember how they made it for the when it's time to film the next one and that sort of stuff. And
oh, that's right.
And now, of course, you have so many people making their own copies that heaven forbid you need a Graflex flash unit for an actual camera, because the Star Wars people have run the prices up way like into the hundreds and thousands of dollars every time one of them pops up on eBay
because
they want to make a, you know, an authentic lightsaber. So,
oh, that's so funny.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy that they didn't actually keep the props from the first movie, because when they first did it, George Lucas was only commissioned to do one. He was like, I have these 9 films. And they were like, great, you're doing one. Which one do you want to do? And that's, he's like, okay, well, New Hope is the one that can stand alone. And this is alone.
Before they would think about keeping stuff and around. Then, they didn't want to pay for storage. They had the prop storage for like stuff they could use again, but nothing custom or specific. There was no market for this kind of stuff, you know. Nowadays, they make extra copies just so they could stick them on display and give them to movie theaters and sell them at auction and that sort of stuff. You know, they're already thinking ahead to how they can, like, sell the screen used props from a movie. Back then, it's like, I think if you go to, like, Tunisia, to the filming location, there's still Luke Skywalker's little igloo is still there. They just left it out in the desert because they couldn't do anything.
Oh, no way. We'll just keep this here. Don't worry about it.
So I think what's really funny, since you only saw Star Wars like in the last year, but you actually built stormtroopers. So did you not know what you were building or what? Yeah.
I mean, I knew they were the bad guys. That's about it. Yeah. And it's interesting because when I was watching the film, I was like, oh, there's different types of stormtroopers, which I wasn't aware of because I was just making the typical
the sort of stormtrooper base model look.
Yeah, for Disneyland. So when they started working on the theme parks for Star Wars,
right,
they commissioned, you know, all of these stormtrooper outfits and everything, and where I was working did them, and so it was just stormtrooper after stormtrooper, and it sounded really cool to be like, yeah, I'm building stormtroopers, but the actual job was so painful that I ended up quitting.
Oh no. Because
it was more of assembly work, and so, you know, you had one person 3D printing the pieces. And then you had another person who was making the molds for the special pieces. And then another person pouring the molds. And then another person shaving them down. Another person buffing them. Another one assembling them, you know. So you weren't making it from start to finish, which bothers me because I'm the type of person that needs to do the whole project.
Yeah.
Which is unrealistic for thousands of stormtroopers. So it is what it is. But it was pretty cool kind of watching them slowly get together, but Disney is very particular. And so we would ship out hundreds of boxes with, you know, the shoulder pieces and the leg pieces and everything, and they would assemble them onto the costume when they got there. Every day we would send out hundreds of boxes, and every day we would receive hundreds of boxes. Mm. And they're like, there's a scratch on the inside of this. And we're like, no one can see it. I can barely see it. And it's in the interior where no one will see it because it's going to be glued to the fabric. But okay, we'll move. We'll do that.
Yeah.
So that was really frustrating. But it was kind of cool because I would walk in and there was like all these stormtrooper helmets to the side and all these Darth Vader helmets up top. And I was like, I've never seen this, but I know people are freaking out right now when I tell them that I'm doing this. Mitch, who's the one who showed me Star Wars, because he's a huge fan. So I was like, if I'm doing this, like, I have to. He was like, what? You haven't even seen them. I was like, I know, that's the best part. And supposedly George Lucas came into the shop.
Oh, wow.
So I think I met him. I have no idea who he was. Yeah. I couldn't have like picked him out.
Yeah.
But apparently someone was like, oh yeah, that was George Lucas. I was like, okay, cool. Like, didn't even know his name. I'm such an idiot. And then like later on, I was like, yeah, there was like a George dude that came by. He like apparently like was a part of the Star Wars thing. And Mitch is like, George Lucas, the creator? And I was like, oh yeah, that sounded right. That guy. So then I got to piss off like even more Star Wars fans.
Right, but yeah.
It was pretty cool, and, you know, the shop staff was really nice, and we had fun. But,
yeah,
you know, you can only glue pieces together so many times.
Yeah, and that must be mind-numbing.
Exactly.
But I remember that shop. We won't say who.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, am I allowed to? I don't think I can.
Because they used to have Star Wars parades before Disney bought Star Wars. So they were making them for a while.
So
I had seen before it was like super big. They were able to get some of the original molds from the original movie. So they were able to, they would make pieces and then make their own new molds out of it, because like they were saying, the original molds were so quickly and cheaply and haphazardly made, they had to like make new molds just to stabilize it basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw that, I don't know if it was a job posting or a Facebook posting or something, where it was that company and they're like, we just got a big amusement park gig we need a lot of workers for. And it's like all over the news is that Disney is building a Star Wars theme park. It's like, I wonder which amusement park you're trying to hire people for. And I was like, oh, I want to go. Right. I bet.
And of course, there's me, like, Star Wars isn't even on my radar. I'm like, oh, that sounds like fun. I'll apply. And they're like, we're doing stormtroopers. So I'm like, cool.
And oh, good. Stormtroopers.
Like, I know they were like, no, like stormtroopers. I was like, okay.
So what are these, like robots or something?
The white outfit. They probably thought I was so stupid.
Is this a spacesuit?
Right? I'm like, what's this for?
Yeah.
Is this Nickelodeon?
Oh, no. Live long and prosper.
You know what's sad? I probably did that.
Mm-hmm.
When I thought that actually was Star Wars, the Live Long and Prosper, but that's right. Star Trek.
Yes.
Right? Okay, I was like, oh crap, maybe we screwed up again. But yeah, it's really cool to say,
yeah,
you know, oh, I helped build stormtroopers. But other than that, that's about as cool as it is. But it's crazy because going back and watching the film, there were multiple types of stormtroopers that I was unaware of. And I was like, that would be really cool. And to build all the different types and everything and the quantity that they had to build just for the first film.
Right.
Because I mean, I remember it taking, I mean, this was over a year long project easily. So I could only imagine how long it took back then to do that without 3D printers, without, you know, all of the mechanics that we have today.
I know they did a lot of vacuum forming. So a lot of the a lot of that was vacuum formed. And then there's, if you remember, it's either Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi, but there's a shot where there's like tons of stormtroopers lined up as the Emperor is arriving or something like that.
Yes.
And that was actually a painting. So they painted all those. It was a matte painting. And it was just like the three or four people moving that were the actual actors behind this matte painting. So I don't know that they didn't have to build.
That's
that
true. If that was a painting, then
they didn't have like these big scenes.
That's so clever. See, that's the thing. There's so many things that they did that were just cleverly done, like the mirrors and like the painting. And
yeah,
I watched the 90s remastered version.
Right.
And
I don't think you could find the original.
Mitch
anymore.
Told me, he said, okay, we're going to watch this. You're just going to ignore the CGI moments.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, you'll know. And I was like, okay. And then it would come on. I'm like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why did we put this in here? I mean, we have beautiful puppetry and masks and prosthetics, and then there's just like this random like CGI Jabba the Hutt, and I'm like, well, that's obviously
jarring.
It's so sad.
This is so different.
Yeah,
from
exactly.
The rest of the world.
It's just like, it's beautiful.
Yeah, but do you know what another cool prop story about the Star Wars films is? So there's tons of people who build replicas of all sorts of stuff, especially from the Star Wars movie. And there's actual clubs that build R2-D2s because he's like, you know, the best robot ever. So they like, you know, they've analyzed every single part and they recreate it, or they find the stuff that they cobbled him together with and make molds of it. And there's all these communities. And so you can get plans and blueprints to build a 100% screen accurate R2-D2 or any sort of like cheaper version that, you know, depending on your budget sort of thing. So when they when they went to make the new ones, the ones that are just coming out now, you know, again, they didn't have any of the original stuff because this stuff was never saved. And so there's the they needed R2-D2 because he was going to be back in the movie. And so they actually invited the founders of these clubs to just supply their R2-D2 because it's like, why do we have to hire people to do this when we have a 100% screen accurate R2-D2 already in existence? And they could give us like three or four of them.
Absolutely.
So yeah, they were able to get
They'll be happy to do
this. And I think they gave like one or two other robots that they had sort of invented, like new robots to be in it. So that's where the R2-D2 in I think it's episode seven, an amazing moment.
Like get a call and be like, so we're totally doing another cool Star Wars film.
Do you have an R2-D2?
Can you help us out? You're a fan. Like it probably was a dream come true for them.
So question for you. Okay, so I haven't seen episodes 1 through 3, so I don't know anything about Anakin Skywalker yet. And I think at the end of the episode 4, you see a little bit of his face that's like either all prosthetics or a puppet or something. Do you know what I'm talking about? Darth Vader, yeah.
Yeah.
Like you see underneath his mask for a brief second.
Yes.
Now, is that just prosthetics on him, or did they actually just build a whole head?
Right. Is that the scene where he's so like quick, facing away from the camera?
Yeah, you just see the back of it.
He gets his helmet on.
And he's in the machine.
I don't know. I want to say that was an actor.
I want to know what happened to him. See, I'm excited. Like, I get to see all these new films that everybody knows about. You'll see me posting on Facebook like, oh my gosh, guys, I just figured out.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see what you think about the prequels going in, you know, having just watched the originals and that sort of thing. Because there's definite opinions about the prequels, but they're opinions made by people who, like, grew up with the original trilogy and then, you know, 20 years pass and then they watch the prequels. So their expectations were probably completely different from what yours would be. I know one of the big criticisms is they used a lot more CGI, which is noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the third film in the series actually had they didn't film anything on location. It's all green screen. The first one, Phantom Menace, actually had more practical effects than any of the films in the original trilogy.
Oh, really?
They built more models. They built, more practical vehicles. And Adam Savage actually built some of the models. Him and Tori Belleci were model makers for episode 1, Phantom Menace. It's got some amazing locations, some great visuals. So I'd be interested to see what you
think I will about keep you posted.
That next set of
well,
movies.
Now do I watch them next
to the
or
original?
Do I watch?
Yeah.
So I've watched 4, 5,
so
6.
So next is 1,
so
2,
I go back
3.
1, 2, 3, and then 7, 8, 9.
7, 8, 9. And then there's some additional ones in there. There's Rogue One and Solo, which as far as I could tell, you could watch whenever.
Okay.
I would definitely. I would watch.
I'll consult
Rogue
my
One
Star
after
Wars advisor.
1, 2, and 3 for sure. I know you got your experts. You can check in. Like, okay, what should I watch?
Right,
next?
We need to sit down and do this together.
So you might actually be able to watch because number 9 comes out this
also,
Christmas.
Also, it was so hard not to do it in like the most wrong order possible.
All of them,
I mean, I had I had an opportunity to just screw with everybody and be like, yeah, I watched 7 first and then I watched 1 and then I watched 6 and 3. Like, just tick everyone off.
Watch number 6 and be like, what's going on? Who's that?
Yes. I feel like we could go on and Star Wars for hours.
I have to look up some more tidbits. You know what else?
I know. We should have another Star Wars episode and we'll get into more detail. Yeah. Let us know, guys, what you want to hear Star Wars wise. If you guys want to hear about a specific prop and talk about how we would make it or the history of that prop, let us know. All about that.
It's like a whole season. Right. Just Star Wars. Yeah.
Literally. Star Wars props podcast.
Switching over. Now that I'm a fan, we're just going to derail a little bit. All right. Well, I think that's going to be all the time for today. Thank you all for listening in. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at Silk Mache and email us with any questions or ideas for future episodes at propspodcast@gmail.com. We'd love your input and we'd love to know what you guys would like to hear. And subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify.
And check out our website at silkflowersandpapermachehearts.com, where you can find all of our old episodes as well as a link to our Patreon page. With Patreon, you can sign up to donate a small sum on a monthly basis to help support this podcast. If you donate over a certain amount, we will thank you personally at the end of every episode and would like to thank Jay Duckworth for doing just that.
This has been another episode of Silk Flowers and
Papier-Mâché Hearts with your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. See you next time.
Goodbye.